I just want to go into Haggai 2, 4, and 9. Haggai 2, 4, and 9. Haggai 2, 4, and 9. And it says, "Yet now, be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. And be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. 8, the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts." And I just want to focus on this last scripture, verse 9. And it says, "The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this peace will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." I want to speak to this church, one of the greatest churches in existence, the Experience Church. I just want to leave with you, the glory will be greater. The glory will be greater. I feel the presence of the Lord. Can we just lift our hands? Put your Bibles up. Can we lift our hands right here? Just ask God to open our hearts and minds. God, we know you're going to do a great work today. God, I pray your will be done in each and every life here tonight. God, I pray you move like never before. God, I pray you change lives. You transform us, oh God. I pray against every spirit that is against your will here today. And I plead the blood of Jesus. We come against all fear, oh God. We come against any agenda of the enemy, and it has to go at the name of Jesus. God, we want your glory to rest in this place. We want your glory to rest on us, oh God. Let your will be done in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, before you're seated, I want you to just tell your neighbor, the glory will be greater. The glory will be greater. May be seated. At the beginning of this year, Pastor preached a masterpiece out of Zechariah about Zerubbabel, and the message was the missing key. And just to give a quick recap of the message, and if you don't know the story of Zechariah and Zerubbabel, Zechariah was a prophet during this time, and he had multiple visions. In this vision, God was showing Zechariah what he wanted to do, and it symbolized, again, God symbolized this with a candlestick of gold and with a bowl on top, and this candlestick was meant to stand in the temple. And there were seven lamps and seven pipes attached to the seven lamps. And two olive trees, one on the right and one on the left. And this symbolized the two anointed leaders, Joshua and Zerubbabel. And these olive trees it supplied continuous self-filling oil into the bowl, which went through the pipes. And this was a tedious job in the temple, of the temple service. And Zechariah asked, what does this vision mean? And the angels go on to explain that this word was for Zerubbabel and how he will accomplish the work by rebuilding the temple. But there were two key aspects from this vision, and it was the continuous oil that flowed through the candlestick, and this represented the continuous flow of God's Spirit, and that it wasn't going to be by Zerubbabel's might or ability or physical strength, but it was going to be by the Spirit of God. And Zerubbabel, he was the leader or governor during this time, and again, he was tasked with finishing the work of rebuilding the temple, and because the first temple that was built by King Solomon was destroyed by the Babylonians, and this temple was very important. It was a very important temple, and this temple wasn't just an ordinary temple. It was important because that's where God's glory would rest. And in Ezra 5:1-2, it says that God sent the prophets Haggai and Zechariah to encourage Zerubbabel to continue the work needed to rebuild the temple. And they encouraged Zerubbabel and they motivated the people to stay committed to the work. And during this time, the foundation of the temple was built, but the rest of the temple was not created. It was not completed. And while trying to rebuild the temple, Zerubbabel, he faced much opposition. And he thought that the small things, the small steps, just the little things, the little work that he was doing really wasn't making a difference. It really didn't matter. It didn't matter. He didn't think it mattered or anything like that. But the word of the Lord said it was not going to be by his might nor by his power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. There is a continuous flow of God's Spirit that we have access to 24/7, every day, every minute, every hour. We have access to the flow of God's Spirit. And Pastor, he focused on the prophecy of Zechariah to Zerubbabel. And I want to focus on another prophecy. And I want to focus on another prophet by the name of Haggai. And he was during his time. He was another prophet. And he also prophesied to Zerubbabel and the people. Haggai 2:4, as I read, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. And be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest. And be strong, all you people of the land, saith the Lord. And work. And work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. But before Haggai spoke this word, the priests and the Levites and the chief of fathers, who were the older men, they had seen the previous temple, Solomon's temple. And if you don't know, Solomon's temple was grand. It was big. It was great. And the priests and Levites and the elders, they wept. They were sad when the foundation of the new temple was laid before their eyes. The foundation of the second temple was much smaller than the first temple, Solomon's temple. It wasn't going to be something that was great and magnificent. It was going to be small. Solomon's temple, it was grand. It was big. It was very beautiful. But the new temple was set to be smaller and not as grand. But Haggai spoke a second prophecy in Haggai 2:9, as I read, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former house, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. I want to encourage this church. We can't get sidetracked about what we don't have, and we may not have the grandest of everything. But the most important aspect is when the glory, when his presence, his power, is in the house. Come on, because when his glory is in the house, lives are changed. Come on, when his presence is in the house, lives are made new. Bondage is broken. Come on, signs and miracles and wonders happen. Come on, fear has to go when the glory is in the room. Come on, does anyone in this place want the glory to rest in this place? Anybody want the glory to rest on your heart? I want the glory to rest in this church like never before. That before people walk in this building, that they are overwhelmed by the presence of God. That they're overwhelmed by the power of God. I want the glory the rest of my life like never before. The glory will be greater. The glory will be greater. Church, I know it gets hard. I know life can seem chaotic and crazy. I know how it feels to just feel that resistance, and you're pursuing after God. You're persuaded. We just had the youth week where you're persuaded. And I know that many are dealing with mountains and very real situations. I don't ever downplay any situations, but there's real mountains of depression and anxiety and exhaustion. And some people are just flat out tired. And there's mental anguish, and there's loss, and there's broken homes, and there's addictions, and there's fear and family issues, and there's financial struggles, and there's sickness. But I want to tell you, God didn't promise that it would be easy, but he did promise that he would never leave us and he would never forsake us. Come on, I'm here as an example. Come on, many are here as an example that there's no mountain that's too big for our God. Come on, there's no mountain that's too hard for our God. There's nothing that is impossible for our God. As the scripture says, who are you, O great mountain? Who art thou, O great mountain? Come on, somebody needs to shout that out right now. Who are you, O great mountain? Mountain of fear, who are you, O great mountain? Mountain of depression, who are you, O great mountain? Come on, mountain of stress and giving up, who are you, O great mountain? Hallelujah. Come on, one more time, if you believe that. I wonder if you could just clap your hands and shout unto God. If you believe that with your whole heart, there's no mountain that can stand against you. There's no mountain that can stand against this church. Oh. I want to just shift to the glory of God. I want the glory of God to rest in my life and in this church, but the glory of God will not rest if we're not in the will of God. The glory of God will not rest on us if we continue in sin. Paul reminded us and stated in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What a blessing to be able to have God's spirit dwell in us. Come on, what a blessing to have God living inside of us. We don't have to go to a building or a grand structure to experience the presence of God. He's always with us. Come on, he's always within our homes and our schools and our jobs. He's always with us. We have a continuous flow of God's spirit. Jesus' name. We've got to turn our hearts away from the world and fleshly desires, because God is calling us, God is calling this church to a higher level of commitment. Come on, God is calling the experienced church to a higher level of consecration and holiness. Come on, God is calling us to turn away from our wicked ways. Come on, he's calling us. He's calling this church. Turn our hearts from the world I thank you, God. Come on, God's working on someone's heart right now. I feel like it. Come on. Somebody's making a commitment. They're not going to do that anymore. Come on, they're laying it down. They're going to cut that out of their life. In the name of Jesus, no more, no more.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. When my grandfather and grandmother started their church, they started in their basement, and they outgrew that area. It was so full of people. People started to sit on the stairs and upstairs, and they eventually moved out of that building, and they purchased a new building, and it was an old convenience store. Old convenience store in one of the worst areas of the city. And they eventually, they grew out of that storefront building, and they built a new building right besides that building, and this was the church that I grew up in. It was all I knew. It was a church I grew up in. And I remember the old storefront building. I remember that building. If I showed a picture of it, you guys would probably be like, what in the world? Is it like a shack? But, God was in that place. But that was a church I grew up in, and I remember the old storefront building. And I remember when we built the new building. But during my time growing up in church, and being in this area, like I said, it was one of the roughest areas in the city. And I remember there was gang violence all around. There was just violence all around, and there were just gangs all over. And Courtney would tell you as well, and gangs such as like the GDs and Vice Lords and Latin Kings, those were the three most popular gangs that were in the area. And if you don't know anything about gangs, they're very territorial. They're very territorial. They like to take over land. They like to take over neighborhoods and blocks. They like to take over areas. But I remember the gangs never really messed with us. They never bothered us. They never messed with us. We would see some activity far way down the street, but they never really got close to where we were. And I would always tell Courtney to court my wife, I'd be like, they never really messed with us, and it was just never a thing. And this past Christmas, I was talking with my father-in-law, Courtney's dad. We were talking with him, and we were just talking about church and history and just stories about church and everything. And he was connected to my grandfather. He's been connected to my grandfather for years. And we were talking about church and old church and everything. And he said, you know, your grandfather talked to the gangs, right? And I was like, no, I didn't know that. Didn't he say that, Corey? He was like, you know, your grandfather talked to the gangs. And I said, no, I didn't know. I didn't know. It was just something we always grew up. And I was like, no, I didn't know. And my father-in-law, he proceeded to tell us that when my grandfather, grandparents, when they were about to start the church, the gangs approached him, and they said, these streets belong to us. They said, these streets belong to us. And my father-in-law told me that my grandfather rose up and he said, these streets don't belong to you. These streets belong to God. And I want to encourage someone here. Sin or the enemy has tried to take some territory in some areas over your life. You may have had some setbacks or some struggles, but some of you need to declare to the enemy that my body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Come on, I belong to God. You will not take control over my life. You will not win, because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Come on, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Come on, if you believe that one more time, can you lift up a praise to our God? Come on, some of you need to take some territory back over your lives. Come on, the enemy has just taken too much. Come on, you need to declare. Come on, you don't have control over me anymore. Come on, you don't have control over this area of my life anymore. I am God. I am God's chosen. Come on, I am God's child. No more will you try to take control over my life. Jesus' name, you may be seated. Matthew 5 and 6, it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Righteousness is living in a way that is aligned with God's standards. It's honest, it's faithful, it's just, it's pleasing to God. It's walking in fear, not fear that God is going to just strike you down and or hellfire, but it's reverence to God. It's reverence that you don't want to do anything to displease him. You don't want to do anything to hurt him, his feelings. You want to be just and right, and that's righteousness. And I'm just praying that the experienced church, that the extra fasting and the extra prayer that we've been doing and the extra Bible reading and the consecration and just this jode of I'm doing more for God this month, I just pray that this isn't just something that we do in the beginning of the year. Let this not be something that we just do 3 days of fasting in the beginning of the year, and the next time we do it is the next January. But let this be something that is our culture. Let it be our culture of a church that fasts, of a church that prays, of a church that seeks the will of God. Come on, I know it's hard. I know I don't like fasting. I don't like going hungry. I don't like it. But these things come by prayer and fasting. And I don't know about you, but I'm expecting God to do some great and mighty things this year. Come on, God is going to do something great. Come on, he's going to work miracles like never before. Come on, he's going to... Come on, he's going to make a way. Come on, he's going to do it again. Come on, he's going to do it again. If he did it before, he's going to do it again. Let this continue throughout the year and for ages to come. Do we crave the world or do we desire Jesus? Do we love the world or do we love Jesus? And young people, young adults, I know there's a strong pull. The pull is so strong, and I know you're faced with many temptations and you're faced with so many things, and in your schools, everything is just everything, and I know it's really hard. I know it's hard, but if we can just learn a simple principle to this walk of God, that the more you seek after God and his presence, the more you lose the desire for the world. Come on, the more you seek after God, the more you seek after his presence, the more you spend time in your word and prayer and fasting, the more you lose desire for the word. We got to change our appetite for more of God. Come on, we got to change our ways. Come on. Come on, there's a hunger and a thirst for God. We've got to die daily. In Jesus' name, you want to maybe seated. 1 Corinthians 5:31, it says, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. We were in class today. We were talking about some of our experience with Youth Week and some highlights. And Brother Jones, he really hit the nail on a lot of subjects and a lot of things that we got to do. And one of the things that was brought up in class today was music, and the influence of music. And like Brother Jones said, you know, we use the excuse, oh, it's just a little bit. It's just a little country, you know, like he said. It's just a little country. It's just a little rap. It's just a little something. It's just a little something. But do you know how powerful that music can be? And we wonder why we have the thoughts we do and the actions, and we wonder why we have these desires, and it's coming through our ears daily. If there's one thing I told the class, I said, you're talking to a guy that loves music. I love music, and I, there was a period of my time, of my life and walk with God, where I had a love for worldly music. I did. I had a love for worldly music, and it was not good. I'll be honest with y'all. It was not good. This was years ago. It was not good at all. And I remember I would come up with excuses. Oh, I'm going to skip over that part. I'm just listening to the music. The music is good. It's good. I like the beat. It just, you know, it's really good. And I was up to date with the latest artists, and I knew the song. You could say a song, and I was like, oh yeah, I know that song. Oh yeah, I know that. And back then, I'll show my age a little bit. We didn't have phones, we didn't have phones to listen to. We had a CD or a tape. And a tape, and I told Courtney, kind of really telling on myself today, but. I was telling her, we were talking about CDs and everything, and I was telling her about tapes, and I was saying how we used to, when we tried to sneak and listen to, you know, music, right? And what we would do is we would get tapes. Sean probably know, we would record it from the radio. Did you do that? Anybody else? Man, we would record it from the radio and try to hide it from our parents. See, I knew I had a couple of witnesses in the place. And we would try to hide it, and there was just simple ways to kind of hide it, and you know, and my mom always figured out. She'd be like, "I know you got that music; you need to get rid of it." But I had a strong desire for music, and I remember I started playing the piano, and I might have shared this, but I started playing the piano, and I started getting really into music and playing for God in church, and I would be practicing and seeking God, and God helped me and seeking God, and my whole family was into music, and I loved music, and I remember when I started playing, there was people, I would receive prophecies, and I remember one of the prophecies I remember was, when you start playing, you're going to be like, and you know, they may have said this other musician, but you're going to be like David, and when you play, that the demons are going to tremble, and the Spirit of God is going to move like never before, and God's going to use you, and it kept me humble. But during the beginning stages, I still had a desire for worldly music, and I remember it was during a church service. And I played this lick, and I used to play with my dad. And when I say lick, I played this little, like, boom, boom, boom. I remember what it was, but I'm not going to say it. But I played this little thing, and my dad played to it. And I remember when I played it, he turned back at me, and he said, "Don't you ever play that in this house ever again." And it just snapped in my heart. And it made me realize how powerful music is, because it got so bad it got to where I was playing licks in church. That's bad. And it's something clicked in my life, and I remember I said, I can't do it. I can't listen to this music. And it was a struggle. It was a struggle getting rid of that worldly music in my life. But I remember I had to just cut it all out completely. I had to just cold turkey cut it all out. Every playlist, every CD I had to throw it away or get rid of it, delete it. I had to get rid of everything. Because if I was, how am I going to come in church and play the piano and try to lead worship while I'm living a life and listening to just filth? How am I going to do that? Leaving people to worship, and I'm playing, and I'm listening to filth. How am I going to do that? And I had a reality check, and I think some of us, we need to have a reality check of what we're doing. But I had a desire, and when I got rid of that music in my life, I filled that with so much gospel and Christian, and started to realize the the reason behind music and worship. And not, I'm not just up there to play, but there's another level when I'm playing. I'm not just, oh, we're just going to have fun and play. No, there's another level of playing, a deeper level. And when I truly understood that, I'm sorry if I'm taking a long right there in this story. I want to really help somebody. But I remember when I understand the foundation of worship and music, I realized the power and the impact that it has, not just on my life, but other people's lives. And I had to just get rid of everything, all the playlists, all the songs, everything, all of that. And I can tell you right now, it's been for very, 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 very many years. I couldn't even tell you the greatest song that's out there right now. I couldn't even tell you the latest artist. If you probably say a latest artist, I don't even know who that is. Maybe there might be some few popular ones like the Taylor Swifties and the Drakes, but I don't even know any of their songs. I don't even know anything. I just want to say that, not to be boastful or for anything, but when you desire God and when you let go of those things that are of the world, you won't even desire it anymore. You won't even have a taste for it. You won't even want it anymore. And you'll just feel filthy. I just want to encourage a young person or younger dog. This came up in our class, but if there's any playlists and music that's not of God, I would challenge you to get rid of it now. Come on, get rid of it now. Get rid of it now. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Those of you that are like, what is this experience? What is this glory? What are you talking about? I do want to read one quick scripture. If you want this experience, Acts 2:38 says, "Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Come on, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Come on, this promise is to you. Come on, this promise is to you. I want the glory of my life. Come on. I want the glory of my life. Okay. I want the glory in this church. Come on, I wonder if somebody here wants the glory on your life like never before. You want the presence of God on you like never before. I want you to just lift your hands and say, God, I hunger and thirst after you. Come on, God, I hunger and thirst after you. I hunger and thirst after your presence. Come on, there's a hunger and a thirst in this building. Come on, I desire more of you, God. Yadabohoshata. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Luke 24, I'm almost done. 24:46-49, it says, "And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Tarry until ye be endued with power from on high. Tarry until ye be endued with power from on high. This week, I know youth weeks are great and it's a great start of the week, but this week it just seemed like something was unlocked. And I know Sister McCoy has mentioned this before, but there's a term that used to be used much, and it's tarrying. Tarrying. tarrying, and it's waiting and expecting God to move, and you're going to wait until God moves and then speaks, and we're going to wait until chains are broken and bondage is destroyed. We're going to wait. We're going to tarry until God moves. And when Pastor, you preached that message about Zerubbabel, he said that he received a prophecy earlier, that week or during worship, and you said that the best kept secret, I wrote this down, the best kept secret in the city of Springfield, this church, the Experienced Church, is not about to be a secret anymore. Come on. It's not about to be a secret anymore. Come on, what we experienced in 2024 and previous years was great, but I believe the Experienced Church will see the glory of God more than ever before. Come on, does anyone else feel it? Come on, does anybody else believe it? Come on, there's a shift going on in the atmosphere. Come on, something is happening in the atmosphere. I can feel the greatest revival for the Experienced Church that is about to happen. Come on, I can feel God moving in a mighty way right now. I wonder if you could just release what God is putting on your heart right now. Come on, just release it. Come on, God, you're good. Come on, God's moving. Come on. Come on, I wonder if you right now just release what's in your heart. Come on, God is moving.